We're holding on page 44 in Psachim, about the middle of the page, middle of Ois Mem Vav then. Hard to describe exactly where we're holding, but it's about six lines from the end of the narrow lines. We started talking yesterday about the whole concept of zugos, the idea that a person shouldn't do certain things in even numbers. And there's the what we talked about yesterday, what Rabbeinu B'chaya says, but it has to do with the notion that there's two gods. Maharsha mentions a point over here also that we find even by Maaseh Bereishis, we find that the second day, then Gehenna was created, and Hashem didn't say Ki Tov on it. The fourth day, we learned before Yehi Ma'oros that along with the sun and moon and whatnot, there was also created plagues such as Askara, like we talked about yesterday. On Friday, Adam Rishon was cursed, and therefore already we see that there's a certain negativity to even numbers or to already from then. And there's different points also where you have another point that's made in that connection is that the second day already you have things start changing. On the first day, Hashem created everything, and then the second day things start changing already. Hashem starts making Yehi Rakia and so forth, and therefore like the change is not always for the good. So whatever the case, there's this idea of zugos, and we're talking about the danger that it exposes a person to. So now the Gemara continues. Omar Ola Asara Koisis Ein Behen Mishum Zugas. When a person drinks 10 cups of wine, then there's no issue of Zugas with it. Why would that be? Maharsha explains because 10 already is a whole nother level of numbers. You see, it's already two digits. It's like starting over with one, first of all, because after all, that's what 10 is, 1, 0. And also, you find Hasidah Yia Kodesh. So, therefore, you can say already the 10th one is like we learned yesterday about the Dalet Kosis, Mitztaref Latova, it combines together to not make Zugus. It doesn't combine together to make Zugus and to create a problem. Where does Ula get this from? Ula the Taimei. So, Ula is going according to his own Svara. The Omer Ula, Va'amri Lab Masne Satana. Ula says, or some say, we learn in a Braisa, Asara Kosis Tiknu Chachamim Beisa Ovo. The Chachamim made a Takana. Then in the house of an oval, when they're having the Suda over there, in particular, the Suda Savra, the first one after the Levaya, they should give the oval 10 cups of wine. The Gemara in Ksubas discusses it. There's three before the meal to stimulate their appetite, three more during the meal, and four after the meal. Nowadays, we don't do that, because anyway, we don't drink wine that commonly as they used to in those days. But anyway, there was this takana to have 10 cups of wine. The idea is that you have a pasuk that says Tnu Sheikha La'ovid V'yayin L'more Nafesh, that wine is good for people who are feeling bitter in spirit, and therefore it's a good thing for the ovel. It helps take his mind off his loss. So now the Isak Daida Hasara Kosis Yeshbe Mishum Zugas, if you were to tell me that 10 there's still a problem of Zugas, Heichi Kaimi Rabbanim Taknu Milsa De Osile Sakana, then how would the Chachamim establish Takana that could bring a person to danger? So, and you don't have the very, so now, of course, one possible answer could be, at least, we discussed yesterday the various answers of the Amoraim, why that's not a problem with the Dalet Kosis. One of the answers, Rava's answer was, Kos Shabracha, Mitztaref L'Tovah, V'en Mitztaref L'Ra. Well, according to Rava's Svara, this wouldn't necessarily work because one of the 10 Kosis that the Beis HaOvel is the Kos Shabracha. But at least it works, the Rashbam points that out. But at least, according to the other opinions over there, then we can say that Ula holds that by 10, there's no issue of Zugas. Aval Tmanya Yesh Ben Mishum Zugas, but 8, there would still be a problem of Zugas. Because 8 is not 10 yet. On the other hand, Rav Chista V'Rava Barabhuna D'Ami Tavayu, no, you have to consider, you have to look at Birkas Koyin. Now, Birkas Kohanim, Maharsha talks in some detail over here, the 60 letters of Birkas Kohanim are a protection against Mazikim. Further on, we're going to talk about, in this sugya, when we talk about further about things of Shadim, we have various things involving 60 Shadim, Zelu, Masel, Selikim, so the 60 letters of Birkas Kohanim counteract that. In fact, we find, when it says, we say the Pasuk in Kiddush Mashal Amitya, Hinei Mitasa Shalosh Shlomo, Shishim Gebodim Saviv Lam Gebodi Yisrael, and one of the explanations is, that he has the 60 letters of Birkas Kohanim protecting him. So therefore, let's look at the layout of Birkas Kohanim. You have a pasuk of 3 words, Yivarach Hashem Yishmeracha, then 5 words, then 7. So now Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna point out the 7th kois, which corresponds to Shalom L'Tovah Mitztaref L'Ra'ah Lo Mitztaref. It'll combine for good, but not for bad. Meaning, in other words, let's focus on that pasuk. That pasuk is the longest one, and there's no eighth word after it, implying that already once you reach seven, then there's no further problem of zogus. So eight is not a problem. Shita yesh behen mishrim zogus, but Rav Chista and Rabbi Bar Rav Huna say six would still be a problem of zogus. In the next generation, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef Dami Tavayu, in the next generation, they go further. V'chuneka, l'toivim etzadif, l'rolim etzadif. Look at the middle pasuk of Birkas Kohanim. It has five words. And Marsha adds, once you reach v'chuneka, you're more than halfway through Birkas Kohanim. You already have eight words out of the 15. Therefore, the fifth word of that pasuk also is l'toivah and not l'ra, with the result that six is not a problem either. But four, there would still be a problem of zugis. Then comes the next generation, and Abaya and Rava both say, look at the first pasuk, v'yishmerecha. Fine, it's only the first pasuk, and it's only a miut, but nevertheless, it is a pasuk. It is one of the three brachas of Birkas Kohanim, so therefore, the third word alone, and the third cup that corresponds to it, l'toiv ha-mitztaref, l'roel ha-mitztaref. So therefore, according to them, the only problem you have is the actual number two, but no multiple of two higher than that. Marsha explains, in other words, that again, the idea is two itself is shnius itself. That's the talking about that whole business that we discussed yesterday about the people think that there are two gods or something. So four and six and eight are outgrowths of that. So therefore, they're less serious. But two itself, which represents more graphically that belief, then therefore even Abaya and Rava agree there's a problem with that. With that said, though, Mefoshim point out, in that case, why did the Gemara begin the sugya by asking then why did the Chacham make Dalet Toises? So what's the problem? Abaya and Rava are saying there's only a problem with two. So the Rashbam actually says that as the generations were going on, the danger of Shnius became less and less. The danger of Zugis became less and less. So by Abaya and Rava's time, the danger was limited to the number two and not any of the multiples. The Mishnah was written generations earlier. So therefore, in the time of the Mishnah, four was still an issue, and therefore the Gemara asked why the Chacham were misakin that. That's how it works out. And the Gemara says, "V'az de Rava l'taymei." Now, Rava, in saying that, goes according to his own svara, where he's saying that four and above is not a problem of zugis. Also, actually, the Rashbam points out another point as well, which is we're going to see as we continue in the Gemara over here that you have two different possible problems a person can be exposed to as a result of zugis. There's the problem, there's the danger of shadim, and then there's the danger of kishur. Now, the danger of shadim is more common, but there we're going to say that once you reach four, then it's really less of an issue. But on the other hand, you also have the danger of kishruf, and even though that may be a rarer problem, and kishruf machers are less common in the world than shadim, nevertheless, if that does happen, then the effects of it are much more severe. So therefore, the Gemara could still ask earlier, what about that? So Rava is going according to his own svara when he says that four and above there's no problem of zugis. In fact, when Rava's Talmidim would be sitting with him and drinking, he would let them go after four koses. And afagab de itzak Rava ba livoy, it even one time happened that one of the Talmidim, Rava ba livoy, was harmed by a shed. Still, Rava wasn't concerned about it to say, from now on, we better be careful with the number four as well. De Omar, in fact, Rava said, "Hahu mishum de oisvan bepirka haba." The reason why that happened is Rava Balivoy used to challenge me with questions and try to slug me up during the pirka. A pirka is a drosha. In particular, we find in various places in Shas that a pirka is not like the kind of shiur that a rebbe gives his talmidim, where it's expected that they're going to speak up with questions and whatnot. A pirka is more like a public drosha for the olam. At a time like that, it's not an appropriate time to be interjecting with questions and trying to slug up and whatever. So Rava is saying, therefore, like Rava Balivoy brought it on himself. So therefore, the fact that he was harmed by a shed doesn't show that in general four is dangerous. So the Gemara continues in this vein. Omer Rav Yosef, or Rav Yosef Omer, Omer li Yosef Shida Yosef Shida told me. Now, we have this Yosef Shida mentioned here and there throughout Shas. The general understanding is that he's a Jewish shed. You have the Zohar talks about Jewish Shadim versus Goyish Shadim. The Alter Rebbe mentions in Perek Ches of Tanya that those Shadim in general represent Koychas Atoma, so Jewish Shadim represent Taivas that are Mutter from Klipas Noga, and non-Jewish Shadim represent Sholosh Klipas Atmeis, Taivas that are Osir. So the simple meaning would be that Yosef Shida was one of these Jewish Shadim. There is actually, I think, the Meiri gives an explanation that this was actually a Yid who was careless with mitzvahs. So therefore, they nicknamed him in a derogatory way, Yosef, like he's no better than a shed, but not that he's an actual shed. Bechlal, the Rambam, by the way, tends to minimize and then downplay this whole business of shedim, all these various things that we have here in the Gemara. The Rambam brings very little, if anything, of them lahalacha, and other dinim and shas also that depend on shadim. The Rambam usually either doesn't bring at all or explains them in a different way, nothing to do with shadim. And the Meiri often follows that as well. There's a vort on that said, I think from the Kotzker, that says by the Rambam doing that, by writing them out of halacha, basically, he wrote them out of existence because halacha determines reality in the world. So Yosef Shida told me, Ashmedai Malka Deshidi Mimunahu Akulu Zugi. Ashmedai, the famous king of the Shadim, where you have the whole story about him in Gittin with Shlomo HaMelech, he's the one in charge of everything involving Zugas. And therefore, Zugas are really less of an issue because Umalka Loi Ikri Mazin. A king is not the type to go around just harming people and damaging people. So therefore, it means, according to that, then there's not much of a concern about Zugas in the first place. Ikadamri, others say that that Yosef Shida says on the contrary, Adram Malka Rishuse Biyodi, on the contrary, if Ashmedai personally is the one in charge of things of Zugas, then it's a much greater danger because a king has his Rishus in his hand, Demai Deboi Ovid, he can do whatever he wants. As we know, Shamelach Perdetz Geder Lasses Lederach, a king can even break through a wall to make himself a road when he needs it, and nobody, the landowner or whatever, can't protest. So therefore, according to that way of looking at it, Adrabah, if it was a regular run-of-the-mill shed that's in charge of it, then maybe Ashmedai could hold him back. But if it's Ashmedai himself who's in charge of it, nobody can hold him back. So therefore, that means the danger is all the greater. They tell, by the way, in connection with this Melech Poets Lasses Legedo, they tell a famous story involving Rabbi Yonis and Ibeshitz, where one time the king of whatever country he lived in asks him, I'm going to be going off to a war, what way back into the city, which are the gates of the city am I going to come back through? And Rabbi Yonis says, your majesty, whatever I tell you, you're going to have to do differently. How are we going to make this fair? So the king says, fine, write it on a piece of paper, we'll keep it secret, and then we'll open it only when I get back. So Rabbi Yonasan writes something on a piece of paper and they put it away in a safe or something, and the king goes off to his thing. Comes back, he decides, I'm gonna outwit that Jewish rabbi. I'm gonna have them bulldoze a new gate into the city. So he does, and then when they come back and they open up the paper, they see Rabbi Yonasan wrote down this piece, Melach Perdetz Lasses Legedo. Omer Papa, so the Papa says further in this connection, Omer Yosef Shida, again, the same Yosef Shida told me what the story is as far as Zugas. Betray katlinan, when a person drinks two or eats or whatever it is two and no more than two katlinan, then we shade him, can kill him for that, for violating the thing of Zogis. The Dalit, if he drinks four mazkinan, then we'll only harm him, we won't kill him, because as we said before, four is not as much of an issue, it's only kind of an outgrowth of the two, but still we shade him, we'll harm him for it. And also another difference, Yosef Shida says, bebeis ben b'shogeg ben b'mezid, whether it's true, it doesn't matter whether the guy stops at two, not realizing that he did that, or not realizing that it's a problem, or whether he realizes, bedalad b'mezid ein b'shogeg loy, whereas when it's four, only if he does it b'mezid, if he mistakenly stops at four, then we shade him, we're not going to bother. So the Gemara asks, V'i ishtali, what happens if Itaka does forget? V'ikri v'nafik, and he happens to go outside. And we learned yesterday that if he goes outside after Zugas or takes a nap or any of several other things, then it puts him in danger of shadim. My takante, how can he fix it up after the fact? He should hold his right thumb in his left hand, and his left thumb in his right hand, meaning he holds his hands like this. And the idea is, if the whole idea of Zugis is, for example, a person has two hands, and that makes a person apt to think that there were that one God created each side of the body or something like that, then putting them together like that shows that adrabba, I don't believe in that concept at all. I believe that there's one Eibishter who runs everything. So then, v'neima hochi, and he should say as follows, atun v'ana, you two thumbs of mine, or two hands, whatever, and me, hotlosa, then we have three, and three is an odd number, and therefore we're not in danger of shading. Marsha points out over here, you have a similar thing. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that if a person had, that if a person is worried about an ayin hara, a person is concerned that he's been affected by an ayin hara, he should do the same thing with his thumbs and say a lachash over there that says, I'm from the descendants of Yosef, and ayin hara has no power over me. Again, with the idea. That's something else that if that, that he can also look at his nostrils, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, so it's a similar idea, in other words, that it's a similar, maybe it's also if the person is not dexterous enough to be able to do that with his thumbs, yeah. But whatever it is, the point is, again, it seems to be the same idea that by that, the person is demonstrating visually that he believes that Einod Milavada, and therefore that Ein Hara or Shadim or what have you have no power over him. However, what if he hears a voice, and not even a voice of a shed necessarily? It actually says a human voice, or the sound, or the voice of a woman, or whatever, who says, "Yeah, but you and I make four." In other words, in effect, the shed is speaking through that other person and saying, "Well, you have your two thumbs, and you and me, so we got four. So you're back under my power." Namele, then the guy should say, "Atun v'ano hochamsha." Well, you and me make five. Then if he hears a sound saying there's now six of us, then you say you and us, there's seven. And you keep on going as long as necessary. It happened once. They had to go all the way up to 101. The guy is saying three, and the shed is saying four, and he's saying five, and so forth, till they got to 101, and the shed exploded out of frustration. Why Dafka when they reached 101? Marsha says, because even if we say, now we said before, Ula holds that once you reach 10, there's no issue of Zugis. And we said the reason is because 10 is already a whole nother dimension of numbers. Even if you say not, 100 is certainly another dimension of numbers. It includes, Marsha says it, it includes all the powers of all the numbers below it into the power of one, and you have Kodesh Kadoshim, like Maisim and Amaiser, like Trumas Maiser. So therefore, for sure, once you reach 100, then a shed has no power. So therefore, when the shed claimed 100, and the guy said 101, then the shed gave up already. They also say a vort on it, that another point, I think the Chidor says this, is 101 is the gematria of Michal, as in the Malach. So therefore, once they reach that point, then you have the ches, and then he has mechol, the sar and shemayim that looks out for the Jewish people on his side. So therefore, the shed gives up. Okay. Incidentally, in connection with that mechol is gematria 101. There's also a vort they say we know in Parshas Tetzave, Moshe Rabbeinu's name doesn't appear, and why davka that parsha? So you have the famous explanation because that parsha always comes out around Zayin Adar, and there's various sichas where the Rebbe talks about the deeper idea behind that. But there's also an idea. Somebody says because since 101 is gematria mechol, now we find Hashem says, after the Chet Egel, my Shechina is not going to lead you anymore to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to send a Malach instead. And Moshe says, absolutely not. Al ta'aleinu mizeh. We want your own Shechina to go with us. And Hashem finally gives in. So therefore, so to speak, now Parshas Tetzaveh has 101 psukim. And in fact, the simon that's given at the end of the parasha over there is Mechol simon. So when you have Mechol, you can't have Moshe, because Moshe rejected and said, I don't want Michal around, and we want the Shechina. So therefore, the one parasha that has the gematria Michal, then Moshe's name is missing. Okay, onward. Omer HaMemer. So now the Gemara is gonna kind of digress from this business about Shadim and about Zugis and talk a little bit about Kishuv, about the potential. The Gemara actually goes on in the actual Gemara itself. It goes on to talk about various other details of Zugis that are not brought here in Ein Yaakov. But then eventually the Gemara digresses to talk about some issues involving Kishuv. Again, keeping in mind that Zugis, after all, make a person also susceptible to that. So Omer HaMemer, Omer li Rishtinu Dinoshim Kashfonius, the chief machshefa of the women who do Kishuv, like their queen, so to speak, told me as follows. If a person meets up with women who practice witchcraft, and now he's concerned that they may do their witchcraft on him. Neima Hochi, he should say the following lachash. It's interesting that the queen of the Malachashvas themselves is saying this tamemer, how to counteract them. I guess it's kind of alderach, like you find the Malach HaMavis himself gave Moshe the secret of how to counteract the Malach HaMavis with Tertus. The Koyches HaTumah themselves are forced to give up the secret of how to counteract them. Anyway, she says, you say like this, Chori Chamimi, hot dung, the diklabazia in ripped up and holy baskets, lefumaihu, should go to your mouths, nishai de charashaya, you women who practice witchcraft. So one idea is, in other words, like you're saying, like, you know, I consider you no more worthwhile than dung or like ripped up baskets. I have no fear and I have no respect for you. And that itself takes away a lot of their power, or a lot of the power of Kishuf, after all, comes from a person who thinks they have power. So therefore they have, to a certain degree, that itself gives them power. You find, by the way, Gemara in Cholin, for example, where it says that Rav Chanina, one time there was this woman trying to take dirt from under his feet, figuring she could use it for Kishuf against him. And Rav Chanina tells her, go ahead, do whatever you want, and the Eibishter can counteract all your kishuv. So for a regular person, is not necessarily on that madrega. And in fact, the Gemara has an expression in Sanhedrin that says that kshofim are so called because machishin pamalya shalmaila. Kshofim is short for machishin pamalya. They can, so to speak, weaken and counteract and contradict what was decided in the based in shalmaila about a person, and that they have the ability to counteract that. So therefore, so like this, saying this this kind of expression about them, you deserve to eat hot dung out of ripped baskets or whatever, that itself shows I have no fear of you, and that itself takes away a lot of their koyach. Anyway, he continues, Korach, or she continues, telling Amemar, you continue by saying, Korach kochaychi, may your bald spots go bald, meaning, in other words, Rashi says, they would use their hair as part of their witchcraft rituals, so may your hair fall out. Korach kochaychi, may your crumbs that you use for your sorcery, may those scatter. Rashi refers to a pasuk in not Rashi but Rashbam, it's printed over here together with Rashi, explains you have psukim in Yechezkel, you have a nevuah in Yechezkel in Perek Yud Gimel where he talks about the certain Jewish women of his times that were into kishuf, and he tells them all for it and tells them Hashem is going to punish them and take away their ability to do kishuf and so forth, and he mentions, he has an expression that you have these pieces of your equipment asher atenim et sodidus Shom as an foshes leforchas, that you trap neshamas over there leforchas. So mafoshim on the pasuk, it means like neshamas want to fly away, meloshin porach, to fly away, and they can't because you're trapping them. But here, the Rashbam explains the word porchas can also be understood as one of the pieces of equipment of the machshevas. So porach parchaichi means may those pieces of equipment of yours that you use to trap neshamas fly away. Continues, Ivdur Tavlu Naichi, may your spices that you use as part of your kishuf scatter. Percha Zikal Merika Chadta Denakitu, Denaktitu, may the wind blow away the new saffron that you use for your kishuf. And then you continue, the Lachash continues, Noshim Kashfonius, you women who do witchcraft, Ad Chanani V'Chananchi, as long as Hashem had Rachmonos on me and had Rachmonos on you, Loy Asisi Lagoy, then I never came among you. So actually, Rashi says it's three things. They had Rachmonos on me min Hashemayim. I had Rachmonos on myself to be careful to stay away from you, and you had Rachmonos on me to not draw me into your orbit. So then I wasn't among you. Hashda da Asisi Lagoy, now that I've come among you, Hor Chanani V'Chananchi. Then evidently my chain, my grace, min Hashemayim, and on myself, and your grace has been cooled off. In other words, obviously, I see you're not as concerned for me anymore because you kind of brought me into your orbit, and I can see I got careless and I came in and I came among you where I should have stayed away from you in the first place. But this whole lachash, in other words, is to be mevatel their koyach against him. Okay. Getting back to Zugas, the Marova like Kafti Azugi. In the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they weren't careful about Zugas. Now, apparently, in the times of the Tanoim, they were, which is why the Gemara had asked in the first place why the Tanoim and the Mishnah are telling us to have four cups on Pesach. But apparently, by the time of the Amoraim, just like we said in Babel, it was weakening from generation to generation. So in Eretz Yisrael, it weakened altogether, and they didn't bother with it at all. Bichlal, by the way, at the beginning of the Sugya, the Meiri has an interesting take on it. He says, Bichlal, the whole thing of Zugis doesn't really begin in the first place. He says it was really more a folk belief. You have the Hamoinam, the Amei Oretz believed in this concept, and therefore the Chachamim have to kind of find a way to talk them out of it. So therefore they did. They said, okay, you know, there is a certain point about Zugis, fine, you know, we hear what you're saying, but you should realize it doesn't apply in this case and it doesn't apply in that case, and so on and so forth. And that way kind of to wean them off, the superstition. That's how the Meiri learns. So in Eretz Yisrael, they got to the point where they're not makbid on it at all. On the other hand, Reb Dimi Min HaHadar kofed afila arushma de chavisa. Reb Dimi Min HaHadar went to the other extreme. He was careful even when he makes marks on a wine barrel to know, for example, you're selling a barrel of wine, so you make notches on the side of it to show how much, like you have on a measuring cup or something. So he would make sure there's not an even number of those notches. Have Ovdo Poka Chavisa. In fact, one time it happened by mistake, there were an even number, and the barrel burst because Shadim got a hold of it. Chlovad Milsa, so the bottom line, the general rule, called the Kofid Kapti Bade, anybody who is Machbid in general on Zugis, then they're Machbid on him if one time he slips up and does have Zugis, then the Shadim can get him. Called the like Kofid, right. But on the other hand, if a person is not Machbid, Loi Kapti Bade, then the Shadim are not going to be Machbid on him either. Umihu, the Mechash Miboy, nevertheless, there is the concern to have. In other words, the Rashbam explains, the Gemara is saying, in other words, after all, we just spent an entire Amud and some talking about the danger of Zugis. If there's really no danger at all, if you're not Machbid, then all the Chachamim have to say is don't be Machbid and you won't have a problem. So obviously, therefore, there is a certain chashash nonetheless. So therefore, a person should be choshish, but he shouldn't necessarily, let's say, go to the extreme of Reb Dimi Min HaHadar or whatever. In later times, b'chlal, we find people in general are not makbid on Zugis. In fact, actually, the Ben Ish Chai writes in one of his Sfarim, he says in his times, Jewish women in Baghdad, when they're sending, which is where he lived, when they're sending like gift baskets to each other, they would davka send them in even numbers to show that the whole concept of Zugis has been completely abolished and there's no danger from it at all. Okay, the Gemara continues. Amar Reish Lakish. So now we're finished with Zugis, but now we're going to talk about other things that make a person susceptible to Shadim or to Kishuf. So Amar Reish Lakish, Arba'a Dvarim, Kala Oysa Oysa and Dome Bereishai, the following four things, if a person does them, his blood is on his head. In other words, he's responsible for anything that happens to him. Or Mischai Benafshai, and he's guilty for his own life. Same thing, in other words, if he gets harmed or if he gets killed, it's his own fault. The Elohein, and they are as follows. Hanifne Ben Deka Lakoisal. The first one is, if he goes to the bathroom between a palm tree and a wall. The point being, Shadim, they're traversing around. They have to get from point A to point B. They're not allowed to walk down like the middle of the street the way people do because they're supposed to stay away from people. It's only under rare circumstances that they have the shus to harm people. So therefore, they tend to kind of skulk along on the sides of the roads. An example of such a place would be between a palm tree and a wall, which is a place. It's too narrow, as the Gemara is going to say soon. It's an area of less than 4 amos, so people don't usually pass through there. So therefore, the Shadim will use it. So now this guy sits down and goes to the bathroom over there. He's kind of blocking the Shadim, and therefore they're more apt to try to harm him for that. The second one is Va'ovav Ben Shnei Dekolim. A person walks between two palm trees. Same idea. Each of these, the Gemara is going to point out there are exceptions to it. The third one, Vashoysim Maim Sha'ulin, a person drinks borrowed water. So he borrowed water from somebody else, then Shadim have an affinity to such water. And the fourth one, Va'ovra Maim Shvuchim, if he walks over water that was spilled on the ground, Va'afidu Shvachatu Ishte Befanav, even if his wife poured it on the ground in his presence, and you're certainly not going to think that, he's certainly not going to think his own wife is trying to do kishuf against him, nevertheless, he shouldn't step over it or into it step over it. There is actually a different girsa that you find in a number of kisveyad, not ishtoi, but rather bitoi. The idea is sometimes, unfortunately, you do have a person whose wife doesn't like him so much and might do kishuv against him, but his daughters certainly not. Daughters usually love their fathers, so therefore it's highly unlikely that she's going to be trying to do any kind of kishuv or summon shadim with it. And even so, therefore, we're saying if there's still a potential danger in it, if not from kishuv, then from shadim. So the Gemara starts out. Hamnifne ben deka lakoso. When we said a person goes to the bathroom between a palm tree and the wall, loyamoran elded less lay arba amas. That would only apply if the space there is less than 4 amas. Because again, now there's no room for the shadim to get by. Therefore, they're gonna bump into him and harm him. Aval Islay Arba Amis, less Lamba. But if there's four Amis over there, then there's no problem. V'chi less Lay Arba Amis, and even if there's no four Amis space, Loyamur and Elo Deleka Darka Acharin. It would also only apply only if there's no other way. So you're talking about, let's say, in a very narrow area, you have like a narrow area between two walls and there's a palm tree over there, and there's really no other way to get by through there. Avo ika darka achrinim, but if there's another way, less than bad, there's no problem because the shadim will take that other way. Next, va'over ben shnei dekolim, as far as the walking between two palm trees. And by the way, those we have, for example, a Gemara in Eruvin that also associates palm trees in another way with things of tumah. The Gemara mentions over there that one of the openings to Gehenim is located outside of Yerushalayim between two palm trees. So there's an explanation, I think, either from Marsha or Maral, I don't remember. Palm trees produce dates, which are sweet, and then they're like the sweetest fruit they had at that time. So therefore, they represent the taivas of this world. So when a person gets himself too much into those taivas, then the result is what's between them. So maybe the Gemara is saying a similar thing over here. Therefore, maybe Shadim have more of an affinity for the areas around palm trees because of that, because they represent that the person is too much into his taivas, and then, yeah. Anyway, so va'over ben shnei dekolim la'yamoran elo b'le paskinu rishus harabim. That would apply only if there's no rishus harabim passing between the two trees. Av paskinu rishus harabim less fun, but if there's a rishus harabim passing through, then there's no problem. Because then again, the shadim have no right to go down the main street over there, and the two trees therefore have nothing to do with one another. In effect, they're like in two different rishus. Next, Hashoisa Mayim Sholin, what about the drinking borrowed water? Loyamar Elav Shalinu Kotem. That would only apply if a child borrowed them. Aval Godel, less than above. If an adult borrowed the water, there's no problem. Vafilu Shalinu Kotem. Even that with a cotton would apply only if this is out in the fields, where it's not easy enough to find water. So, like, so to speak, the shadim glom onto it over there because there's no other water for them to easily get. But in the city where it's much easier to find water supplies, less than bad, there's no problem. Even in the field, it's also only a problem. Elamaya, only if he borrows water. When it comes to wine or beer, then there's no problem. In general, shadim tend to stick with things that haven't that don't have a lot of human involvement. And wine and beer are made by people, so therefore they have less of an affinity for them. Next, while over on Mayim Shfuchin, the fourth one, when he walks over spilled water, Lo Yamaran Eladalaf Sakinu Va'afra. First of all, that would apply only if he doesn't scatter some dust over them. Afsakinu means like he stops them, so like he has a barrier between the water and him, as there's the layer of dust. V'loy tof b'huruka, or he didn't spit into them. Aval Afsakinu, right? Tof b'huruka, but if he screws some dust over them or spits into them, less than ba, then there's no problem. Also, it only applies only if the sun has not shined on them, or 60 other people's steps haven't already passed over it. But if the sun has shone on that water, or 60 human footsteps have already passed over it, what happened to those first 30 people? Let's not talk about, but whatever. The point is that once that happened, then danger is gone, less than bad, and there's no problem with it. Furthermore, even if the sun hasn't shone on it and he hasn't spit in it and so on and so forth, it's only if he's not riding a donkey, and he's also not wearing shoes. So he's walking over this water barefoot. But if he's riding on a donkey, so he's not directly touching the water, or he's wearing shoes, less than above, and there's not a problem. However, Vahani Mili, all of these exceptions that we're saying with the dust and the spit and the sun and so on and so forth, Hechad the Lekal Mecha Shal Kshofim. That is all where there's no concern about Kshofim. For example, it's an area where Kishuf, where people who practice Kishuf are less found. Aval Hechad the Ikal Mecha Shal Kshofim, but if it's a place where there are Kishuf Machos going around, even if you have all these factors, people have already walked over it, and the sun shone on it, and you spit in it, etc., then you're still the chashash. As we have the example, of a person, he was riding on a donkey, and he was wearing shoes, and he rode over such a puddle of water, which had been poured there by women who wanted to do kishuf against him, and his shoes shrank, the tzavukare, and his feet shriveled up from the power of the kishuf. So we see, in other words, that so when there's Kishuf involved, then all of those factors that we said before are not going to help him. So you should just stay away from the puddle in that case. Okay, Tana Rabbanan, we learn in a Braisa. So if it's known, so not necessarily if it's known that it was poured out by Kishuf Machos, but in other words, if it's a place where such people are to be found, then there's concern that they may have glommed onto it and used it for their things. So the Gemara continues, Tana Rabbanan, Shloisha loy mimatzin v'loy mismatzin. There's three things that you should not allow to be between you. In other words, you shouldn't have two people walk with one of these things in the middle. V'loy mismatzin, and you yourself shouldn't be in the middle between two of them. Elohein haddeko v'hakela v'isha, a palm tree, a dog, and a woman. So you shouldn't walk between two women, and you shouldn't have a woman walk between two men. Now the Gemara mentions in Hodius as well another point as well, which is not only we're saying over here there's a danger in it, but we're talking that's the context of our Gemara over here. But the Gemara mentions in Hodius as well that's one of the things that's kosher l'shikcha that can make a person forget his learning. Now, in fact, Marsha points out over there, over there, that here the Gemara is going to bring certain things that a person can say to counteract the danger. That'll help as far as the danger. It won't help as far as the Kosher L'Shikha, therefore stay away from that. So, in fact, these things are brought, they're not brought by the Rishonim as Halacha, but the Alter Rebbe brings them in Hilchos Shmiras Guf V'Nefesh and various other Acharonim bring them, and they talk about various details in that, under what circumstances does it apply and does it not apply. For example, they talk about that maybe it's only an issue if the two women are standing and you're walking between them. If everybody's walking together, then some of the Achronim talk about there's not an issue with it. Also, for example, let's say you can have mice and b'cholyo, and you're walking down the street and people are walking in different directions and you end up between two women, so there's less of an issue there because, again, everybody's walking and the b'chol going in different directions. There's also, they talk about that if you're holding on to something, then there's less of an issue as well. So, for example, they talk about, if you have nothing else, hold on to your payas. There was actually something earlier this year where there was a yid in a situation like that who asked the kid to walk with him, and it became a whole scandal where they claimed about him. It was a tremendous motzi shemra, but whatever, there is this Indian. So there is this Indian, but there are various exceptions to it. Anyway, so the Gemara says, the Gemara continues, V'yesh oimrim af chazir, some say the same rule is true as far as a chazir, V'yesh oimrim af nochash, and some say also a snake, that you shouldn't walk between two of them or have one of it between two of you. So the Gemara asks, V'im mimetz inu mai takante, what if you did walk like that, between the two women or between the two of whatever, mai takante, how do you fix it up? I'm going to pop a liftach b'kel v'yisayim b'kel. He should say something that begins and ends with kel. So Rashi says you have psukim from one of Bilam's nevuos, which he begins kail moitzia mitzrayim, and he goes on for a couple of more psukim, and he finishes ma poal kail. So you say that series of psukim that begins and ends with kail. Inami liftach beloy the assign beloy, or he can say a pasuk that begins and ends with loy, which is also from Bilam's nevuah loy ish kail biyachazev until a couple of psukim later the dibur veloy yikimen. Marsha points out when you talk about you, the whole point is we're talking about there's a danger of kishuf involved with all these things. So therefore, very appropriately, those psukim are talking about how no kishuf has any power against Jews. Therefore, those are very appropriate psukim to say at the time. With that said, though, Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Hananel, we're not talking about those psukim, rather we're talking about certain tefillos that begin with kail and end with kail, or begin with loy and end with loy. And Tosfos brings the nusach of those. There's actually, as far as the one with kale, there are Rishonim who are associated also with kale arachapayim that we say on Mondays and Thursdays, where in fact that also begins and ends with kale. So therefore, the implication would be that works too. It begins kale arachapayim rav chesed emes, and it finishes off kiroiv rachamecha kale. So therefore, that's another thing. It begins and ends with kale.
Does the kale know from a...
Kale know from a law. That's different. It ends with law. That's not, yeah. Okay. So that works. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Hai beitre dahabu yasvi." If you have two people are sitting, two men are sitting, the upaske isha nida beinayu, and a woman who's a nida walks between them. Im tchilas nidahi. If it's at the beginning of the time of her nida, her regas as echa mehem, she's going to end up with her powers of kishuf. If she's doing kishuf, she'll have the ability to kill one of them. Vim soif nidahi. If it's only the end of her nida, so then like the tumah is now weaker. then if with her kishuv, she can cause a fight between them. Maitakante, how do you fix it up? Like we said, liftach beloy or bekel, the assign beloy bekel. Same thing. You say these psukim to counteract the kishuv, and that way that'll counteract whatever she could possibly do against them. Okay, we'll continue next time, Beis Hashem, with more of these things about kishuv and its dangers and how to counteract them. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. Your tests, Bav Tishrei. Now we have the halacha in Shulchan Aruch that says that on Shabbos and on Yom Tov you're not allowed to clap or dance and so forth. So we do it nowadays. So one answer is Mutav Yoshogin Valu Mazidin. People don't know better, and if you tell them, they're not going to listen anyway. So with things that are banon, we say better they should be shogig rather than they're just going to end up violating the mazid as well. But Yeshoyim, it says in Shulchan Aruch that nowadays it's all mutter. And they give a reason. The technical halachic reason behind it is because the gzera is shem yisak and klei shir. You might fix musical instruments. Well, nowadays, your average person doesn't really know how to fix a musical instrument anyway. Rebbe comments, and look what the sichas then, we see by chsidim, we see even by the rabbeim, that in fact they do clap and dance and so forth on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Now, the practical reason is there are these reasons that are brought in halacha, but the deeper reason, because we're coming close to the time of Mashiach Tzidkenu, so therefore we act like David HaMelech, where we find David Mechaker B'chol Oiz Lech Hashem, that he's leaping and dancing and everything with all his might before Hashem, and therefore we do that nowadays as well. Halachas, continuing on halachas of Shabbos. So we started talking about yesterday about Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum and when you're supposed to do it. Now the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings the minhag that you do each parasha psucho stroma twice and then the Targum on that. On the other hand, we know our minhag is, and that's how it's brought in Hayim. And in fact, he goes on to say, then that would mean, what if there's a piska b'emtza pasuk? Then you would stop there and do the second half of the pasuk with the next parasha. However, our minhag is, as it says in Hayom Yom, that we do each pasuk at a time anyway. At the end, you finish off with a pasuk of Torah in order to end off with Torah, because you want to show that Torah is on a higher level of Targum. It's best not to interrupt in the middle of Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum with speaking. The minhag is also to say the haftorah. Yesh Noyig can also say Shiashirim afterwards. What happens if a person is on the road and all he has is a chumash without Targum? Then he'll say the twice chumash, and when he gets a place where there's Targum, he'll say the Targum. Also, now, every Yorish Shemayim should also learn Pirush Rashi on the parasha. If he's not capable of understanding Rashi, then he can learn, for example, Tsenu or Rena or some other types like that, so he'll understand what's going on. The Alter Rebbe points out in more detail that the original idea was you say the Targum because people understood Aramaic, and that way they'd understand what's going on. Like this nowadays, most people don't understand Aramaic, so how much good does the Targum do them anyway? On the other hand, the Targum is L'moshe M'sinai, it's something special. So there's the Indian to say with the Targum, but also Rashi. And of course, we do both by doing Chitas every day from Sunday, as we learned yesterday, from Sunday is already the beginning of the time for Shnai Mikra, and we do Shnai Mikra with Targum Onkelos on Friday. Then that way we Yotza the best of both.